full a minute ago. God bless you. Huh? Sure, sure. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, James, you can take the little ones over there. Don't run, don't push, don't shove. And now you guys are about to be super blessed. Sister Dana, why don't you come up here and just bless all these nice folks.
Thank you. And it's all about David really calling curses down on this guy called Doeg the Edomite from Edom. And I mean, he really didn't like Doeg, let me tell you. And he was calling down every terrible, horrible thing that could happen to a person and how he was going to be punished and all this. I'm going, you know, this isn't real uplifting. Lord, you know, I don't know why you put this in there, because this really isn't helping me a whole lot. And if you go back and look at the beginning of Psalm 52, and he's talking about, it explains the psalm. It says, to the chief musician, a contemplation of David, when Doeg the Edomite went and told Saul and said to him, David has gone to the house of Ahimelech. Well, if you don't know the story, what happened was David was coming in from this big glorious battle. So a whole bunch of the women were out there and they were singing. They made up this song about how Saul had killed his thousands and David had killed his 10,000s. And Saul went into a jealous rage and was going to kill him. And so Saul's son warned David that he better get out of town because Saul was going to do him in. David ran. He goes into Ahimelech, which is, what was the name of the town? The name of the town was Nob. How could you forget Nob? That was the name of the town, was Nob. And Nob was the home of the prophets who wore the ephod. That means these were the guys who came down through the bloodline. They were not just your regular priests or any, you know, they weren't your everyday run-of-the-mill priest. These were the special guys. These guys were descended from Eli. And so he went to the high priest, Ahimelech, and he lied. He told Ahimelech that, well, I'm on this secret mission for Saul. And he said, and I really need some food and a sword. You know, he didn't have any weapons. And Ahimelech saying, well, why did Saul send you without a sword or anything? He said, well, I had to leave in a hurry. I mean, he really was stretching. It was thin. It was a lie. Ahimelech probably figured it was a lie. So Ahimelech gave him the showbread, which is the bread that had already been offered up to the Lord, and they were about to put the new bread out, and gave him the old bread. And he said, well, the only sword we've got is Goliath's sword. Well, you know, that probably should have been David's anyway, right? You know, he's the one who took that sword and cut off Goliath's head, so it should have been his. So he takes the sword, and while he's talking to Ahimelech, the high priest, he sees at a distance Doeg, the Edomite. And right then, this little bell goes off his head, ding, 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 there's Doeg. This is not a good thing, because Doeg is going to run and go tell Saul that I've been to Ahimelech. Well, in this psalm, David is acknowledging what he did. You can take the death of Ahimelech and put it on his feet. He's laid at his feet. He's really the one who he brought all this down on, that whole family. And let me tell you what happened. Well, Doeg was supposed to be, the Bible says that he was the head shepherd. Now, a head shepherd for a king is not like somebody that is actually out on the field herding sheep. And some of the Torah and some of the things, specialists, you want to say, experts, Jewish experts, they say that he was probably taken in a raid or a battle from Edom, because they were terrible enemies, maybe taken, you know, as a, you know, a captive, and he was maybe somebody that was real high up in that government or whatever. I mean, he wasn't just your ordinary shepherd at all. And he goes and tells Saul. Saul goes to Ahimelech, and Ahimelech says, well, of course I helped him out. David's your right-hand man, right? David's your boy. I mean, good grief. Everybody knows that David loves you. So I gave him some bread, and I gave him the sword. And Saul was so upset. He said, you knew that I wouldn't want you to have David to have any of that. And Ahimelech said, I didn't know that. Well, Ahimelech might have. So Saul ordered his men to kill Ahimelech and all of his sons. It was 75 of them. Well, none of his soldiers would do it. They weren't going to say, we're not killing high priests. Good grief, what would God do to us? I'm not going to kill any high priest. Well, Doeg steps up and says, I'll do it. You know, he hated Israel. Yeah, he would kill those priests. He killed every single one of them. Now, these aren't your regular priests. These are the priests of Israel. Then Doeg takes it upon himself, and the scholars are sort of back and forth on this, on whether Saul ordered it or not. But Doeg takes it upon himself. He goes back to Nob, and he kills all their families. The whole town of Nob he put to the sword. Every man, woman, and child. So now, not only does David have the blood of Ahimelech on his hands, but every single priest and their families. David did some stuff. David he was the apple of God's eye. But why? Why was the apple of God's eye? Man, he wasn't just quick to repent, which he was. But when he repented, it was from his heart. And he turned and he went in the opposite direction. But anyway, I'm going to get ahead of myself. Okay. So now David is, he's written this song. Because that's what this one, can you imagine singing these words? Let me sing. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good. And it goes on and on. Oh, my goodness, he hated Doeg. And so he's got this whole choir up here singing this. Anyway, so he gets down to verse 8. And I need somebody to pass these out. You want to pass those out? Gets down to verse 8. And now, this is, we'll call this the chorus. And he goes and he says, the righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, here is the man who did not make God his strength, talking about Doeg, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Now we're to the chorus. And David says, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. Hallelujah. And so I was just sort of meditating on that, and I'm thinking, okay, all right. So here's David saying, there's Doeg and his evilness. But I'm a green olive tree. I'm a green olive tree, and I'm not out in the field or on the mountain or in the valley. I am planted in the house of the Lord. I'm right here. So I got to think, well, okay, that's got to be pretty significant. I'm a green olive tree. I said, well, Lord, what's this up with the green olive tree deal? So I looked it up. Let me just tell you about this green olive tree. Okay. The word for oil, which was their oil came from the olive, it's the same as the Hebrew word for sun. The sun. It talks about richness, anointing, fat, fruitful, ointment, to be brilliant, and to shine. David is speaking all of that. He's not just saying, I wish I could be that, you know, but he said, I am that. By faith, he's speaking it. In the house of the Lord, I am a green olive tree. I'm going to produce. Let me tell you some facts about olives. They have, and they claim this, I don't know how they can prove it, but they said that there are 1,000-year-old olive trees that still produce. Still produce. I said, well, I'll claim that in the name of Jesus. If an olive tree is cut down, it still lives because the roots grow and the olive tree comes back up. Hallelujah. You know, how many times have I been tried to be cut down? Yeah. But hallelujah, my roots, where are my roots? Where am I planted? Yes, in good, fertile soil. Hallelujah. It was the most valuable tree to the ancient Hebrews. The first press of oil was called the beaten oil, and it was the most expensive oil. And what they did was they just crushed it. You know, they beat it, I guess. They beat it, and the oil just came out of the olive. Then the second press was when they took everything that they'd beaten, they cooked it and pressed it. They added heat to it. And I said, oh, my word, how many times has the Lord had to do that second deal on me? Oh, my goodness. You know, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. I want to be the first one. I want to be, you know, where, like David, when he saw what was happening, and he said, oh, Lord, forgive me. I see this about myself. I want to be that first press right away. Lord, let me please you. Don't have to battle with me. Don't make me be crushed and heat applied to me and pressed. And I don't want that. Oil is the symbol of honor, joy, and favor. I'm thinking, man, you just make me a green olive tree, hang Christmas ornaments on me right here. That's good. I like that. Every one of those little ornaments, just hang them all over me. An ancient tradition, Hebrew tradition, says that the tree of life was an olive tree, which makes a whole lot more sense than all those pictures in Sunday school you saw with apples. No, it was an olive tree, man. Oil, what does oil represent the most in the Bible? What do you think of? The Holy Spirit and the anointing. Oh, you know, if we did a whole sermon just on the olive tree, we could do that, but we're going on. Okay. That was the first line in our chorus. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. Hallelujah. If you didn't memorize any other thing in this whole psalm but that, you'd be doing okay. The second line is, I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I just see David standing there. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Why does he have to trust in the mercy of God forever and ever? Because he messed up all the time. And it wasn't little things. No. He didn't stub his toe and say a cuss word. You know, it wasn't stuff like that. It was bad stuff. Let me tell you. He could have gone and told Ahimelech, you know what? You probably shouldn't stick around. You know, Saul's going to be mad. We're going to have to come up with something because y'all are in danger. He didn't do that. He took the sword and the showbread and he ran. He didn't have to lie to Ahimelech and tell him, well, I'm on a secret mission. He didn't have to do that. There were things he could have done. He could have gone to Saul himself. He could have gone after Doeg and took care of Doeg. There was lots of things he could have done. He didn't come back and defend Nob when Doeg came to kill everybody. He didn't do any of that. Yeah, he was trusting on the mercy of God forever and ever. He had to. And he totally knew. That I think that was one of the best things. He knew the goodness and the love of God toward him. He knew it. He knew it. He could trust it. He had faith in it. And he was telling everybody in the congregation, as his arms are spread like an olive tree, I'm trusting in the mercy of God. Psalms 86:5 says, for you, Lord, and David wrote this too, I believe, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call on you. If it's all, is that everybody? Is that you? Yes. Is there anything that God will not forgive? No. No. David did every single thing that you could possibly think of, and the Lord forgave him all of it. The next line is, I will praise you forever. I will praise you forever. And David did. And, you know, it's like that, I think I told you all about this, that eternity is like if you had your life and you've got a jump rope, and you know how a handle is on the jump rope? It's about this big. That's your life. And then you've got the rest of the jump rope, and that rope goes all the way out the back door, all the way to Milton, Pensacola, out through the water, across the ocean, into Europe, let's head down into Australia, come back up, cut through this way. and then start wrapping it around and go up to the moon. And then take that rope and go on out to Saturn. And then take that and go on out the Milky Way. And you're just getting started. Here's what we are now. And all the rest of that is to come. And David's saying, I'm going to praise you forever. Every inch of that rope, every second of that life that you've given me. And he meant it. He meant it from his heart. If anybody in this world was a worshiper, it was David. He was a worshiper. Anyway, 2 Chronicles 5, verse 12 through 14. This is New King James. And this is when they were dedicating the temple. And they were bringing the ark in. And Solomon was there. Pretty sure this is it. He says, and the Levites, who were the singers, and all those of Asaph and Heman and Judithan, those were the big worship leaders of the day, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen. I hope you're seeing this. Having cymbals, stringed instruments and harps, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. I mean, this was a shindig. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That the house of the Lord, where we're planted in a green eye as a green olive tree, was filled with a cloud so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. And I know there are people in this room that's experienced that. It happens. It happens. But what was the condition? I mean, they were coming to give everything they had. They were coming in the greatest celebration that the Hebrews ever had to worship. Oh, thank you, Lord. I mean, I could just see it. And there, you know, just, I'm going to praise you forever. I'm going to trust in the mercy of God forever. If we could come before the Lord in our kitchen, in our car, out in the field while I'm on the pushing the plow, and come before the Lord with that heart that David had, oh Lord, I know how good you are. I worship you with all that I am. I love you, Lord. And I think the Holy Spirit, I think the cloud shows up then too. Amen. It doesn't just have to be in here with all of us, which it does. Thank you, Lord, it does. When we're in one accord, yes, it does. But it does then too. And I've had that happen. I've had the Lord move in my life. I've had the Lord move in my life when I'm mad and yelling at him. So I know he does it then too. Lord, I love you. And then the next line is because you have done it. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, hold on. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And I'm going, well, what did he do? Kill Doeg? That's not what he's talking about at all. Because you have done it. What did the Lord do for David? And what does the Lord, do for us? Basically, the only answer is everything. Everything. He saved me. He took care of me before I got saved when I should have died. But he knew, because of his mercy, he kept me. And if we went around the room, we could spend the rest of the afternoon and everybody just telling what the Lord has done. The Lord changed me. The Lord wrote his laws on my heart. The Lord filled me with his Holy Spirit. The Lord anointed me. The Lord, let me tell you what the Lord did this week. Let me just give you this one. Okay, I'm having my laptop. I have this big laptop. It's like huge with a big screen. Well, it weighs too much. And so I'm holding it in my lap all the time. It's like cuts my circulation off on my legs. And I said, you know what, Larry? I need you to make me a table so that I can just roll it under the couch and set this laptop on it. The next day, this lady across the street is throwing one away. Right. And it was perfect. And so, oh, you can have it. I've never even seen one before. And there it is. You know, the Lord loves us. He cares. If he's got the very hairs on your head numbered, you know, he cares about a laptop table. What? He cares. He cares. He cares about your drive to work. He loves. He loves with a perfect love that we cannot understand or even fathom. We can guess at, and we're still going to come up short. He's done it. I'm going to praise your name forever, Lord, because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints. Hello, saints. Hallelujah. David brought all of this into the presence of the saints. You know, we were talking about it Wednesday night in the Bible study. All this bad stuff that we know about David, where do you think it came from? It came from David. David confessed. David wrote down those dirty details and had to tell how he saw Bathsheba. And he had to tell how he wrote the little note Was it Uriah?
Yeah.
And he knew Uriah was on such an honorable man, he wouldn't even open the note to read it. And still he sent it with him. He had to tell that and allow it to be written down and published for all the rest of eternity to see. That's repentance. That's repentance right there. And in the presence of your saints, not only did he do that, but he confessed and he shouted out loud and he sang it and he proclaimed it before the saints, before God, that he was a green olive tree. That he was a green olive tree in the house of his God. And he was going to trust the mercy of his God forever. I know I did bad. I know I did. I'm so sorry. I know I did it. But I'm trusted in the mercy of God. I'm going to walk on. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to do what he called me to do. Because I'm trusting and I know what he did for me. What he'll do for you. Then he says, and I will wait on your name, for it is good. I bet there's some stuff about the name you don't know. When God was going to give Moses the Ten Commandments, and he told him, he says, you know what? You go up the mountain, and you're going to wait on me, and I'm going to go before you, and I'm going to proclaim my name. That's what God told him he was going to do. I think that was more of a deal than the Ten Commandments. It was learning God's name. I think it's in Chronicles somewhere. We'll look it up. Where he says, first they gave him the Ten Commandments and said, you're not going to use the Lord's name in vain. Then, over in Chronicles, when they were sort of expanding, you know how they sort of expanded all those laws? It says, and if anybody does it, we're going to stone you to death. Now, that wasn't in the Ten Commandments. But they added that in. So you know what the Hebrews did? They started dropping letters out of God's name to make sure that they could not be caught using the Lord's name in vain. So it ended up just being capitals and all caps. Well, actually, that's really not true because there are no caps in Hebrew. But it was W-Y, I think it's Y-W-H, ended up being Yahweh. But they took out the middle letters. And they are, to this day, not sure that it's Yahweh because it's lost. Because they were so afraid. They would not write it. They would not touch it. Like if they used to read the scroll, they wouldn't actually touch the ink where it was his name was written. They would use a pointer or anything like that. Anyway, let me go on. I'm getting off. They used God's name was only spoken once a year by the high priest in the Holy of Holies. I don't even know how many people could actually even hear it. And so if that high priest didn't pass it on down to the next high priest, I guess that's how it got lost, to know what the exact word of God, name of God was. What are we allowed to do? I can call him Dad. I can call him Father. I can call him, did you know, in the Bible there are 200 names for Jesus? 200. And I can use every single one. Because he has done it. Because he has done it. Hallelujah. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. And I can call him every single one of those. I can call on that name. Did you know? Let me ask you a question. Do you know why Solomon built the temple? I mean, think about it. Why? There's lots of things, reasons you could say why Solomon built the temple. He built the temple for one reason. As a house for the name of God. Those were Solomon's words. Solomon said that. As a house for the name of God. Where is the house for the name of God now? It's right here. It's right here. You know, I think David knew that. Because where did it live in David? It lived here. It lived here. Lord, I thank you that I can walk in that name. I can walk in the power of that name. I can walk in the mercy of that name. I can walk in the love of that name. Is there anything that I could ever lack? No. It's like, what's that little sign? I love that little sign. It says something about sometimes when you follow the Lord, is you just got to learn how to dance in the rain. You just got to dance in the rain. You know what? That's faith. And David did that too. And some, you know, I don't like getting wet sometimes, and sometimes it's thundering and all that, but hallelujah, I'd whole lot rather dance in the rain and be a green olive tree, and I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to hope in God. I may not make as much money as I want. I don't care. I have a hope. Hallelujah, the Lord knows how much money I need. The Lord knows where I need to live. The Lord knows everything that's got to happen to me in my life to make me that person, and he's only got this amount of time. There's this much of that rope that he's got to work in. Sometimes it's like a cram session, right? Don't you feel like that? I know I do. Here I am, that olive. I'm getting crushed and stomped on and squeezed and they're heating and it's getting hot. But I've only got this long to work. This. And then after that, hallelujah. Last scripture. Therefore, God had, this is Philippians 2, 9 and 11 through 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. So I'm challenging you. Those little papers I gave out, I'm challenging you to memorize that. When you get your check and it's about only 40% of what you thought it was going to be, I'm a green olive tree. Amen. In the house of my God. I'm going to praise you forever. And in the presence of your saints, I'm going to wait on your name. I'm going to wait on your name. I'm going to trust in your mercy. Hallelujah. I'm going to dance in the rain. Hallelujah. And I love you. I just want to, I don't know, it blessed me so much. I've cried over that scripture for 3 weeks. I just thank you, Lord. I just love you. Love you bunches. Be blessed. Be blessed, you olive trees, you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Here, well, let's sing it, Dana.
Oh, we got, you remember,
Larry? Yeah. I'm a tree, I'm a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. That was about the whole thing.